Every Thursday during the legislative session, we've got a chance to catch up with the governor or the lieutenant governor of the great state of North Dakota, and we have another of our GovTalk sessions here with the lieutenant governor, Brent Sanford. Brent, how are you?
Oh, I was just living the dream, Scott. We are trying to figure out if session will wrap up today or not, and I have tried to quit guessing when it will end, but obviously there's a lot of important bills that come to the end, and the House and the Senate have to agree or the bills don't move forward. And when they're an appropriation bill, the bill has to be passed and has to get signed. Otherwise, there's no budget for that agency for the upcoming biennium. So some of the legislators are willing to push it to the 80th day, and some of them want to save a few days for coming back for whatever items they may want to come back and do business. And so here we are. I think it's day 77, if I'm not mistaken. But they're to the point where they could finish. It's just a matter of how long it'll take to agree on these last few bills.
So how does that work? Is it if they stay past midnight tonight, does that go into day 78? Like, do they have the full 24 hours to count as a day, or what counts as a day?
Well, it would be until midnight, you know. So I'm trying to remember the times that we sine die is the name for it when it's all finished, and that I'm trying to remember what times we did the last two sessions I've been involved with, and I believe it was closer to midnight the first year, and then and around 10 last time, and so that's what I would expect. For some reason they say they can't do that anymore, of where they had to cover up the clock and go into the midnight hours past midnight. But I would expect this could get wrapped up by 10 p.m. But it would have to be where the leaders decide each of us are going to give on a few things and on these last bills, and then we'll be done. Otherwise, it could push into tomorrow pretty easily.
You have a question or comment for the lieutenant governor. Both he and Governor Burgum have been great about taking calls and comments in these GovTalk sessions, so bring them on. 701-271-1100. Toll-free number, as you know, is 855-200-1776. If you just want to leave a message and not have to wait to ask your questions, or you can call us toll-free, too, at 800-228-0550. And my text number is 701-367-2054. The super producer, Chris Larson, also takes those as well today on the program. And that's 701-352-3661. So you can text any of us with your questions today on the program. A lot of questions about bills that have been signed. I want to talk a little bit about some key ones signed yesterday. Also, obviously, this time of year, the vetoes become an issue. There have been some that have been controversial. The latest one is related to NDSU and challenge grants for all of the universities. Part of this is to say outside grants are a problem, especially when they're with the Planned Parenthood. I know it doesn't mention Planned Parenthood specifically. The governor signs or vetoes. What role does the lieutenant governor have in the debate over signing or vetoing, Brent?
Well, I'm part of the office team when we're having discussions and trying to provide information to the governor, obviously, and with my role presiding over the Senate and always being in the loop with legislators on the conversations, you know, with policy related, et cetera, budget related, constant communication with legislators. I end up having a voice, and it's obviously up to the governor to sign these bills or veto these bills. I don't pretend to understand the gravity of it, of you're putting your name on a bill as the governor. There's no one else. It's a very lonely spot to be in where it's up to you to sign these bills and veto these bills, and there's only one person that can do that. And so Governor Burgum takes these absolute with 100% seriousness, as he should, and looking for the future of the state and looking towards, you know, what's best. It's quite an organization to put together with when you have 1,000 bills or so. I don't even know how many the final number is, but they start with 1,000 or so, and these bills all have to come through and get signed if they pass both chambers. And it's quite the machine to watch in action. And it comes down to a few of these bills at the end. And like you said, the bills that get signed that are transformational bills that are going to change the future of our state, the bills that get vetoed and they either overturn them or they go away, and they don't become law. I mean, it comes down to just a handful of bills for each legislative session. And, we had a good day yesterday with a lot of celebratory bill signings, historic bills, 20-year arguments on trespass versus hunting rights versus sportsman's rights versus landowner rights came together in 2144. Took a lot of effort. Senator Herbly, Senator Patton.
Let's talk about that now. This, as you say, this is not a new debate. This has been going on for a while. This is also known as the electronic posting bill. Explain what this law will now do for North Dakota landowners.
We're the first state to allow electronic posting, and so that I really ended up jumping into this when we started in office 4 years ago, and I was amazed, quite frankly, at the urban hunters, if you will, and landowners. And it was something that it didn't really dawn on me, coming from Western North Dakota, that there would be such an issue, but there really is. Access to lands, posting, is the sign up, is it not up? And then talking to folks that are landowners and hunters themselves are showing, look at the apps I use when I go to other states and go elk hunting, et cetera, where you've got all the land on the app, and whether it's private, whether it's open for hunting, whether it's not, phone numbers you call. And so these conversations have been percolating for the last 4 years. And believe me, last session, the conversation with sportsmen was not in a good place. And in our North Dakota Game and Fish jump right into this conversation as well and point out the fact that you do have to have access. The number of hunters is declining, and this is an important American ideals and traditions, and to keep hunting alive. And so it was a very robust debate last session. They thought they had the appropriate amount of compromise, and the bill passed the Senate, where a lot of the push was behind from senators, and on the House it died on the floor and it was done. And so they had an interim committee work together, engaging with letting there be an interim committee, with having landowners and sportsmen groups have a seat at the table, have a vote on the suggestions that came forth. And I'm trying to remember the vote tallies, but it was something to the tune of 44-3 and 90-2. It was very successful. A lot of collaboration and communication and compromise happened. A lot of smiling faces that you wouldn't have thought could ever happen yesterday.
Short break, back with more on some things that happened. Energy's been a big focus too, and Lieutenant Governor Stanford's been in the middle of that, so we'll touch on that. Just have one other question and a few coming in related to the electronic posting bill. Some will say it's not a good bill because the burden's always on the landowners, so we'll give Brent a chance to answer that when we come back on What's on Your Mind. All right, back with Brent Sanford, Lieutenant Governor. I want to talk about some energy bills that have passed. Before we do that, let's finish on the electronic posting that passed yesterday. A texter says, many hunters don't pay attention. The burden ends up being on the landowners. Example, Scott, can I use your hot tub next Sunday, or are you going to have to put a sign up? I'm a lifelong hunter, and I'm tired of spending $200 a year on signs. So did this go far enough to give the landowner the lead on deciding whether someone could be on their land or not, Brent?
Scott, I think you should get Senator Herbly, Senator Patton, Julie from North Coast Stockman Association on this topic for a whole show, because they can talk about the compromise that was reached. But my understanding is there's still the ability to post as has been done in the past, and now there's the ability to electronically post. But what I can tell you is there was compromise reached to where these bills passed prolifically, which has never happened before. And there were ranchers that were up with us at the podium yesterday too. And so it's something where some of the landowners would like to see the actual definition of trespass change to what it is in other states like South Dakota, where you cannot enter land. North Dakota's is kind of the other way, where you can unless posted, but progress was reached, and I think you could do a whole show on this with the right people on, and get someone from the sportsman side too, and you can see how they came to a compromise. It's pretty impressive. But we had a great day with compromise on straddle wells at MHA between the state and the sovereign nation of Mananadasa Rikara on the border.
Tell me about that. I want to know what is a straddle well bill. Explain what that is.
So last session, one of the bills that came out, and one of the five that I refer to for last session, was the 80-20 bill, where we agreed to share oil and gas taxes within the reservation boundaries, 80% if it's MHA trust lands and would go to them, and 20% to the state. And then the other way, if it's non-trust land, so if it's private land, which is called fee land, if it's in a reservation, that would be 80% tax to the state, 20% to the tribe. So that was landmark legislation. But there was a little wrinkle with what were called straddle wells, which are wells that the tax is based on where the wellhead is. So if you have a well site that's outside of the reservation and it drills underground and horizontally into the reservation, there was no tax going to the tribe. And likewise, if the well started inside of the reservation and then went under the boundary out into private land or government land, there was no taxation going the other way. And so straddle wells became the last loose end we had left from the 19 session. And it became a real bone of contention with the MHA nation and the fact that those wells are sitting on the outside drilling into the reservation and not having taxation. So there was agreement struck in Senate Bill 2319. Senator Wardner Patton got it passed and moved to the House, and great compromise was reached by Representative Hedlund, Chair of Finance and Tax, and Chairman Fox. And again, people up on the stage, similar to the hunters and the sportsmen and with the landowners, there were folks that were on bitterly divided on this issue that were on stage together signing this bill. So you can actually have compromise through communication and collaboration and move forward, and that's what's fun to see, some positives coming out of session like that.
Let's also talk about another I think, you know, this has been somewhere you've talked about before. You talked about the plan, but the Clean Sustainable Energy Fund, and also the tax relief for the coal industry to level the playing field and all the things that are happening nationally. Two huge bills. Talk about the significance of those and what that will mean going forward, Brent.
Yeah, since we were last on your show, we've signed both of them and had a celebratory press or bill signings. And those were two of the landmark bills for, I keep using that word, but they really are. They're things we didn't do before, and we are focusing on the fact that our lignite energy generation industry is in peril with this administration, and it's something that we have been moving forward with low emission technologies and such as Project Tundra, where you actually take the CO2 out of the flue gas stream and put it underground and hold it underground, and so your CO2 footprint goes down to near zero coming out of these plants. And we've got to get there sooner than later. And this bill, Clean Sustainable Energy 1452, was again Senator Patton on that one, Representative Bosch from Bismarck, and great leadership from Representative Porter and the coal and oil and gas and renewable industries. And we've got a new authority board put together with representatives from renewable, from coal, from oil, and have dollars, $25 million, put into place to commercialize and continue the research on low emission technologies for our energy generation in the state. And that's where we springboard into our future for the hydrogen economy, for more renewables, for more lignite production with taking the CO2 out, so it's going to be carbon negative and carbon neutral type lignite energy generation technologies. It's very exciting, and this Clean Sustainable Energy Authority will be where that takes place. But another important thing we had to do to help level the playing field for the lignite industry was pass the coal severance tax holiday bill, which for 5 years they'll have a 80% reduction or 85% reduction of their coal severance tax. And so that amounts to $20 million per year. That will help these coal plants not have to pay the tax that they're generating and keep that cash and innovate, use those monies for innovation investments, et cetera, to be able to keep moving their businesses forward in this carbon-constrained future that we're going to have, that there's no doubt about it. And so
we feel that was a good
reduction of taxes to get to help the industry.
Only about 90 seconds left, and some questions pouring in. One is somebody saying, where's my tax relief? I don't know what they mean by my, but I assume it means, you know, are the property taxpayers, are the income taxpayers getting relief in this session?
Well, the state's commitment to property tax relief is just as strong as it was before, and adding a little bit more in K-12 property tax relief. If you look on your property tax statement, state-provided tax relief, you'll see a large amount, and that comes from the state's commitment to funding 75% of local K-12 budgets. And so that's the tax relief. And we probably don't preach about it enough, that we are providing tax relief from the state government to the local level. Otherwise, that would have been on your property tax bill from the school. So that's the property tax relief that's continuing and increased again once again this session.
Ron in Western North Dakota, real quick for Brent. Go ahead.
Yes, I'm just kind of wondering on the electronic posting law. We got to have the teeth, you know, when they don't abide by the law and your land is posted electronically, we got to be able to have teeth to do something.
All right, what kind of enforcement is in it, Brent? Half a minute left.
That was a lot of the debate with former Sheriff Representative Heinert about the level of misdemeanors involved, and I believe it's up to a misdemeanor. So the enforcement is going to be important as well. Good question. Thank you for the call. And again, I'd encourage you to have a whole show on it, Scott.
Yeah, we will. Ron, I'm going to take Brent's suggestion on that and have some of the folks that were champions there on that, on the bill, Eberle Patton and Julie Ellickson from the Stocksman Association as well. Thanks, Brent. Appreciate it. Mark Morgan, when we come back, former Trump official on the border.